Good evening. Our brother has asked us to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this evening, 1 through 12. It's been another beautiful Lord's Day. I thought as I was sitting up here, getting up, and hallelujah, the Lord is risen. I just get out today and I can just lay in the grass and just feel the sunshine and see the little kid goats out running around. The new life, as was talked about this morning, or I think our brother mentioned it in Sunday school, and it's a wonderful, wonderful day that the Lord has given us. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come into his house again this evening and worship him. Reading from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 12. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I had to think on this scripture this evening, how it speaks to each one of us. How many times do I want to murmur or do I want to complain? Everybody speaks as well, we're humans, we're going to. But do I choose to try to not murmur and not complain? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer, there in verse 10. The Lord has been merciful to us. I thank him for that. May we kneel in prayer at this time to thank him.
We bring you greetings this evening in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Thank for our brother for his prayer, and ask you to continue to pray that God's will be done in the service tonight. The subject tonight is entitled Shepherding the Heart. What is the most precious thing in the whole universe? I believe it's our human soul. We see its value at Calvary because the most costly thing in the world, my sin and your sin, required the payment of Jesus' blood to redeem us. Our brother read from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and it mentions there of how the children of Israel fell into sin and turned away from God. And it gives us warning that we need to be very careful. I like to express verse 12. Let him that think he standeth take heed, lest he fall. As a baby, I was carried by my parents' arms to church services here at Pleasant Hill. I was taught by godly men the seriousness of loving God and living by his holy word, and the example of a mother who loved her Lord. We as brethren and sisters here at Pleasant Hill try to be faithful to our Lord by loving him and teaching and upholding his word as a final authority in our life and for living. I appreciated the sermon this morning that challenged me of having him Lord of our life. We need to be reminded that each one of us, as a church, we have an enemy that wants to destroy our relationship with our Lord and with each other. The devil is a liar and a deceiver. Are we aware, as we should be? Are we taking this warning carefully? In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary is the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And this is the reason why the church fellowship leadership is taking a stand on God's word, that every member will gain victory over him, the devil. We need to remember he is seeking whom he may devour. That's you, and that's me, and that's our families. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In Ephesians 5, 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, many people, as Jeff has mentioned this morning, say, just believe and live as you will. And we see that many times in many ways, and we have to be careful that that's not our way of living. How important is God's word to you? The Pilgrim reports Dr. Henry Ironsides, as a young preacher, was visiting Alexander Fraser and listening to his devotion and his teachings that came from God's word. Finally, he couldn't constrain himself any longer, and he cried out, "Where did you learn all these things?" And this was his reply. "On my knees on the mud floor of a little sad college in the north of Ireland," repeated Mr. Fraser. "There with my Bible open before me, I used to kneel for hours at a time and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and to open the word to my heart. He taught me more on my knees on that mud floor than I have could have learned in any college or seminary." We need to realize the basis for living the Christian life is accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And secondly, believe that the Bible is his love letter to me. Is he the Lord of our life? And thirdly, follow Jesus in every way. Many professing Christians do not accept God's word as the final authority in their lives. Many books are written, but there is only one that is God's word and will be fulfilled according to what God says. Every one of us one day will be in God's presence, and we need to think of that, and we need to give an account of our lives based on eternal, everlasting words that he speaks. In Romans chapter 14, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow in me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that everyone shall give an account of himself to God." In 1 Peter 1:25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you." Loved ones, we need to believe his word And we need to live by it because we're going to be judged by it. In John 5:25, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That is God's eternal word, and we need to accept it as it says. Paul was inspired to write in 2 Timothy 4:1-8, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. For after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned from unto fables. And that's what the children of Israel did. They did what's right in their own eyes, and that's what many people are doing today. They set up their own standards on their own thinking instead of God. It goes on to say, but watch out on all things, endure affliction, the work of evangelists, make full proof of the ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I'm looking forward to that time. I hope you are. That appearing of our Savior. You know, that which we love is what we become. Paul loved the Lord. He loved God's word. He preached and lived God's word, and he knew what was waiting for him at death. And not just him, but all them that love his appearing. If the appearing is today, we would love it. Or we'd be happy if you come tonight. This can only happen when we love God and his word and permit it to shape us according to his image. Matthew 6:1 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember, that which we love is what we become. If we love the things of the world, we become worldly. If we love God and his word, we become holy people. What are you loving? What am I loving? Do I want God's will for my life or my will? That's the key, God's will. Secondly, how serious are our examples as church leaders and as parents? Let's take inventory of our life tonight. If we desire to have those who are following in our footsteps to live faithfully for the Lord by obeying God's word, it is important that we daily, what we do, live, what we profess for spiritual growth. Every one of us, every person, whatever age, needs to seek God's will daily. A minister was called to the bedside of a dying girl. In her life, she had lived a life of rejecting Christ. The minister pled and prayed with her to no effect. As a final effect, he called her mother. Her mother pled with her daughter to accept Christ as her Savior. The girl listened and then said these sad words, Mother, you have not lived that before me. I trust that none of us, of our offspring, could say that tonight of us. That's serious stuff. What example are we to our families as parents and fellow Christians? None of us have come to the place of perfection, but how serious are we in our walk with the Lord? I think we need to be reminded again tonight, what about our personal time with the Lord? Is that a part of our life every day? I think if we profess to be a Christian and don't have that quiet time, I question our relationship with God. What about a family altar? I trust there's none here that doesn't have a family altar every day in their home where God is exalted and praised and honored. Our children know if God and His Word is precious to us. But above all, God knows. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. If it's not hidden in our heart, is it any wonder why it is so easy to sin? In 2 John 1:10, If there come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. If it's not hid in our heart, how can we detect false teachings and protect our families and the church body? How serious do we take God's word? All of his word. Do we pick and choose, or do we accept it all? In 1 Corinthians 14:34, it says, Let a woman keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the Lord. And if they should learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. That's God's word. When this is permitted in our local churches, soon we are concerned when it leads to women in leadership in the district churches. What about teaching some of the basic teachings, like the holy kiss? I've been asked sometime by a brother from another congregation. We at Pleasant Hill preach strongly in 1 Corinthians 11 for sisters to have long hair and a prayer veiling. And that's only mentioned once. But he said the Bible teaches greeting one with a holy kiss, and it's commanded 5 times. But many times that he meets our people, they do not greet him. What would you answer? Will this soon be lost at Pleasant Hill? We need to beware. There's many areas we could talk about tonight. What about television? What about videos and computers and cell phones? Many of them are used for entertainment in many homes. When these devices are used in these ways, we should not expect our families to seek godliness because they're being force-fed wrong information, garbage in and garbage out. I'm just amazed when I hear and see what's on these phones today. People can even sit in church and look at pornography while the sermons are preached. Let's look at some areas of our life. 40 years ago, Pleasant Hill would not have allowed an official to preach or teach who had a television in their home. Church officials were expected to dress in plain clothing, but many today are following the casual appearance. This is all around us, not just here. It's in Mennonite circles that were once plain. If leadership does not hold up standards of God's word, why should we expect the youth to take a scriptural stand? Step by step, I think we're losing many of these distinctive things that can be a testimony for Christ. We expect our sisters to stand up and wear coverings and have long hair. And many of us men can fit into the world. They don't even know where we stand. God pity us as men with no backbone. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What am I sowing to? What are you sowing to? How do we who are older show respect for God's house and to God our Savior and Lord as we worship Him? Do we teach this to our children? Do we love God and respect him as he should, and his house as we should? In 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have you from him, that who loveth God, love his brothers also. In Ephesians chapter 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How serious and how deep is our love for those who hurt us. Our family members know above all things, and God knows. This should cause us to tremble. What is our feeling toward others? How many of us can say from the heart, as parents and as church leaders, as fellow Christians to our youth, as Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even I also am a Christ. Do some of us sow wild oats during the week and then slip into church on Sunday and pray for a comp failure? God pity us. Thirdly, what is needed to shepherd our hearts? Whatever age as Christians, we need to daily take inventory of our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to have control. Do we live close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires something, anything from us? Am I a fan, F-A-N, or am I a follower of Jesus? Fans want Jesus to inspire them, but Jesus wants to interfere with our lives. When we read the four Gospels, Jesus said, believe in me about 5 times. Jesus says, follow me about 20 times. Both are important, but truly, believing is to follow. Are any of us here this evening like the person who said to the preacher, I'm leaving the church because when I listen to one of the messages, I feel you're trying to interfere with my life? But isn't this exactly the minister's job description? Preaching is to help a believer to become a committed follower. Most of us can quote John 3:16, but how many can quote Luke 9 and verse 23? And he said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow him. These words are recorded by Jesus in 3 of the Gospels. Let's notice there's no exception clause here. I will follow Jesus, but I will not sell my possessions. Don't ask me to forgive the people who hurt me. They don't deserve it. Don't ask me to save sex for marriage. I can't help my desires. Don't ask me to dress modestly. I want to look sexy. I want to fit in with the crowd. Don't ask me to have long hair and wear a covering. Don't ask me not to decorate my toenails and fingernails, etc. Do not ask me to turn off my cell phone or stop texting during the service. Don't ask me to sit up front further where there is plenty of room so I would be less distracted and get more from the message. On and on we could go, but remember, there are no exception clauses. We do not get to say, I follow Jesus, but it comes to this area of life, I'll do things my way. And that's the tendency for all of us. Many of these things I have just mentioned are not spelled out word for word in the scripture, but we need to ask ourselves, where and from whom do these suggestions come from? For these things come, we need to think seriously and weigh them carefully. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, reading from a paraphrase, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all you do and think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. If we call ourselves Christians, by definition, we are committed to follow Jesus Christ in every area of our life. It doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we can't say I'm a Christian and then refuse to follow Christ when it comes to certain people, places, or practices. Am I really carrying a cross from my Lord? Are you carrying a cross? When was the last time following Jesus cost you something? Did it cost your relationship? You had the wrong type of friends that hinder your walk with God? Did it cost you a promotion on the job? You asked to do something that's unscriptural and you don't take a stand? When was the last time you were mocked for your faith? When was the last time your life was threatened? When was the last time you went without a meal for the sake of the gospel? Can I really say I'm carrying my cross if it costs me nothing? I wonder if it would be helpful for us to walk with the Lord if we had a special place that every morning when we pray, we would have a large card with the words, "I die daily. What will I die today for my Lord?" I think Apostle Paul was very strong in enforcing that in his life. My plea to you is Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may approve what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. James 4:4 stresses more. You adulterer and adulteress, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Take notice what he says, if we're friendly with the world, that's Greek friendship, we're an enemy of God. Are you a friend of the world? Let's take inventory. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. The Pleasant Hill Church, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and based on God's eternal word, has asked each one of us as members to seek the face of the Lord daily and to obey those teachings as recorded in our yearbook in pages 1-5. Let's please read them and obey them. Take inventory of our life. Are we living up to our commitment to God and to the church? As one of the older ministers, I asked you to submit, as Hebrews chapter 13 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they that must give an account, they may do it with joy and not with grief, for it is unprofitable for you. Loved ones, I am watching for your eternal souls. And I trust you're watching for mine. I want to remain faithful. I've seen so many that I looked up to through the years who have fallen by the wayside. We need to take a stand for God and be faithful. A few years ago, a minister from America was preaching to a tribal area in Africa. When the invitation was given, two young men in their 20s accepted Christ and committed to follow him. The following afternoon, these two men showed up at the house where the preacher was staying. They each carried a good-sized bag over their shoulders. The minister asked the local missionaries why they were there. He said these two men were no longer welcomed by their families or in their village. The minister thought this would be more than they could endure. The missionaries said they knew this would happen when they made a decision. They chose Jesus over their families, their comforts, and their convenience. This is what is needful for God to shepherd our hearts. Where do we stand in that? The saddest words any person will ever hear is in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, But he doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then we will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. My desire is that each one of us here today will hear Jesus speak. We'll never hear those words spoken to us. But when we hear the words in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter not thou into the kingdom, the joy of the Lord. I think as church leaders, as fathers, as fellow Christians, we need to be careful that we do not live a life that a weaker member may take offense at and turn away from the Lord. The scripture tells us, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And also it tells us, the Apostle Paul said he would not eat meat if it would offend another brother or a sister. How deep is our commitment to the Lord? How faithful will we be until he calls us home? Is your life or my life hindering another believer, maybe a weaker in the faith? Are we doing something we want to do, and we know God isn't what he wants us to do? I think the words of this hymn express my heart's desire. Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow that a time would ever be when I let the Savior's pity plead in vain and proudly answer all of self and none of thee. Yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, heard him pray, Forgive him, Father, and my wistful heart said faintly, Some of self and some of thee, some of self and some of thee. Day by day his tender mercies, healing, helping, full, free, and strong, and oh so patient brought us lower, while I whispered, Less of self and more of thee, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the higher heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love has last conquered. Grant me now my soul's perdition, none of self and all of thee. Is that my desire? Is that your desire? God bless you.
Let's all stand for closing prayer.